This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, you're listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio. And you might hear the odd meow in the background because I have Xena the black cat sitting on my pile of papers that she thinks I'm going to need, which I don't. Haha. And another cat, Ming Ming, just jumped up, not to be outdone, hoping to hit the keyboard and distract me. Because they always know how to bother you, how to get your attention exactly the way that will work best, because they're so smart. But we're going to have a show today on Animal Party Pet Life Radio about a little bit of dogs, but almost all cats. Meow. Because we've got Dusty Rainbolt. Welcome to the show, Dusty.
Well, thank you for having me.
Dusty, for everybody out there, if you haven't heard her before, you can scroll back to previous shows we've done together. She's author of many cat books, including Kittens for Dummies and Ghost Cats, and she's really good at helping you solve your litter box problems. But we're not going there today. Well, maybe a little. We're going to talk about other things, Dusty. What do you think are some of the myths last year that were circulating in 2024 that we just... You know, those cat myths that, I mean, for years, people have thought weird things about cats and they're so convinced cats can't be trained. Cats are aloof. Cats don't like people. You know, different myths. What would your pick be for cat myths that you'd like to dispel here and now on Animal Party?
Well, yes. Cats don't like humans. They're not social. All of that. I mean, cats are individuals just like humans are. There are some people that don't like people. So, you know, it all has to do with experiences and socialization and whether people have taken time with them. And as a matter of fact, my social boy, who is also a big naughty boy because he doesn't like other cats, is Jeppy. And he just came and sat down beside me. So he's an excellent example. He is not social with other cats, but he is social with people.
Well, and there's dogs like that, lots of dogs like that, who only like people or are just kind of take it or leave it with other dogs, but live for people attention. There's dogs like that, and there's dogs that are the opposite. Can't wait to get to the dog park. Drag you there if you let them. Don't care if you're on the end of a leash or not. You fall down, they keep going. I mean, there's some dogs like that too, the party dogs. So yeah, just like people, right? They're as diverse as we are. But one time, I mean, I was trying to, what do you say to someone who has a cat that they think is just basically furniture, doesn't respond, isn't interested, they can't get it to do anything? I mean, in my experience, I walk into a household like that and the cat has given up on those people. But it immediately tries to interact with me. So it's pretty easy to undo, I find. What do you think about that? Is it that the cat is really that antisocial and that much of a loner that it wants to do nothing, be unstimulated, be non-interactive? Is that really the case?
Well, okay. I think you could have two things going on there. I have adopted feral cats, and because they were born in a wild setting and, you know, from the moment they were born, they were taught survival is important and people hurt you and everything. And it took years to unlearn that, but they eventually became lap cats and they would sit beside you and hang out with you. So, you know, with patience, that changes. But I think you're right. I think that a lot of these, they have been nothing but furniture. And to give you an example of how that can be changed, not that we've treated our cats like furniture, but because I work at home, I'm around cats all the time and I would feed them and I would play with them. And
so they couldn't care less about your partner there.
Oh, it was so sad. One day my husband, they don't pay any attention to me. And the pain in his voice, because, aww, you know, he has saved all these cats. These are
right.
Anyway, I vowed that was going to end right then. So the next day, you know, if they came and sat down beside me, I would pet them. They were soliciting and I was, you know, I responded, but I didn't feed them. I didn't give them treats. I didn't play with them. And then the moment he got home,
right,
he'd get the bird out. And oh my gosh, they would literally line up. There were 10 hens, and they would line up side by side, and he'd sit there and play with
him.
And each one would get their little moment to kill the bird.
Right. The pretend bird. Yeah. Okay. The toy.
The bird.
Okay. Just so people listening don't think you're actually.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, we weren't doing that. But it was so cute because you could see cats have such amazing hearing, and you could see when he was two blocks away.
Oh, nice.
Because they line up in a circle around the front door. And so, yes, you're absolutely right.
You know, I don't know of any study that's measured cats knowing when their owners come home. I wish there were, but there are studies on dogs, and they did it in England, and where people reported they thought their dog knew when they were coming home. They tested those dogs, and 85% of them tested like so accurate, it was crazy, you know. And in my case, I once had a dog go absolutely bananas in the house while the person taking care of my house watched him and filmed him and couldn't get over it because my plane had come into Vancouver, which is an hour away, but it had come into Vancouver, and for whatever reason, the pilot couldn't land, so he was circling and circling and circling, and apparently this giant poodle was freaking out, like just circling and circling and running around the house, and when I finally landed, got my suitcase and called her and said, you know, I'm on my way home, she said, I know, he's been going nuts for an hour and a half. Calm for 2 weeks, going bananas. So, I mean, some of this is just hard to understand how it works.
I will say that in this particular case, they may not be able to smell as well as dogs, as adeptly, but their hearing is much better than dogs, and they can hear very high frequencies. And I think what happened was they could hear the car engine two blocks away. And so within 2 minutes, they were, he was coming in the door. So I think that's what they were hearing. But the point was, they had gone from being neutral about him,
aloof for not caring, yeah, to really interested in him.
All of a sudden, they anticipated his arrival. And but, you know, it did require and he loves to feed the cats. You can tell because they're a little bit puffy here.
I know. Yes. Yes. I get that. You have to have a measuring cup and you have to insist an extra isn't the loving thing to do because fat cats are uncomfortable, age badly, and can't groom themselves. And if it's extreme, they end up diabetic. So even though it feels good to give them extra food and, you know, I find my cats, they'll suck you into thinking they haven't been fed. They'll act like they're starving when there's still food in their bowl. Like, come on, I can see it there. I can see it. No, you were fed. No, I wasn't fed. I wasn't fed. I wasn't fed. Yes, you were. So it's kind of a habit. It's almost like they don't have enough tricks. They don't have enough ways of communicating with you. The only thing they can say to you is feed me and you come over and feed them. Well, then that's what they're going to do. You know, that's the only. So we can talk about that when we come back from break. We have to take a break now. But I also wanted to mention the word conditional. As often, this is my myth buster. People are always saying to me, oh, dogs are unconditional. My dog loves me unconditionally.
Oh,
and
no.
I think, no, absolutely not. I can walk into a house where they've called me, you know, they're going to pay the big money to have me come train their dog. They don't want puppy glass. They don't want this. They want that. They want it custom made because their dog is, in their opinion, so difficult that they need a private lesson in their home. And I come in and in 2 seconds, I can tell who walks the dog, who feeds the dog, who barely does anything for the dog. You know, like you could just tell. You could just tell because the dog is like all over the person, right into it, engaged, looking at, interacting with, responding to, reading and communicating with his body, with his posture, with his face, with it never kicking his eyes off the people he cares about. And the people he cares about are the people who do stuff for him. And it's all conditional. The thing might be something as simple as, you know, petting and loving. It doesn't have to be food. But the person who only interacts with the dog when that person doesn't want the dog around and is kind of, you know, get off, get away, get away. I find that person right away. So dogs are definitely conditional. What do you think about cats?
Oh, well, I think even more so.
You
definitely have to earn the love and respect of a cat. And You know, I mean, cats are in a situation where a lot of times if they're not in a good situation, they simply move on and find something better.
Oh, yes. So we call that the cat redistribution network.
It is.
You just can't find a better hangar. Yeah, and even an indoor cat can find its way out if it really wants to. You know what I mean? Like, they just figure it out. They, that door's open, whoop, out they go when the kid's walking through or whatever. Yeah. Okay, we have to go to break. We're going to come back and talk more about cats and dogs on Animal Party Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and my guest, Dusty Rainbow. Stay tuned.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're talking with Dusty Rainbow, and it's me, Deb Wolf. And okay, I want to play that game. I'm gonna tell you, these are things from the news last year, and I'm gonna tell you two truths and one lie.
Okay.
Okay, Dusty, are you ready? Everybody out there, you ready? Try and see if you can guess. Don't Google it. Just guess.
Okay, I'm not.
No, I'm telling everybody else.
Oh, yeah, don't.
I trust you. Because you and I are so low tech, we're not going to mess with the computer while we're doing the show because it might backfire. So I've got all my material and my stats and everything else. Okay, so here we go. Two truths and a lie. Okay, so I'm going to say three things, and two of them are true and one of them is a lie, and you have to guess which is which. Okay, so rats have been taught to drive cars. Dogs have been taught to drive cars. Cats have been taught to drive cars. Okay, real cars, they move, they get engine and everything, you have to start it. I don't think they have a clutch. I think they're automatic.
Definitely not standard transmission here.
Well, I've tried to teach two teenagers unsuccessfully. They're still working on it. And so I can say that this is amazing to me. So, okay. So what do you think? Which is the lie?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have no question that dogs can figure it out. I mean, that they can learn.
Says the cat expert, giving dogs total credit. Look at that.
So I guess in this particular case, I think that cats and rats can both learn because they're pretty intelligent animals. But the question to me is, which one are would researchers waste their money on?
It's not their money. It's somebody else's
money.
They
right, waste the taxpayers' money on. And I'm going to say they taught rats.
So the lie is cats?
I think so.
Oh, you guessed right. Oh, darn. Okay, well, I'm going to get you to give me three, but not now. We'll do it at the end of the show. We'll have one more break, and then we'll do yours where I have to guess. Oh, my goodness. Okay, because I thought I was looking at that and thinking, okay, it's got to be obvious because, you know, rats will do anything for food and dogs will do anything to please you. And cats, can you imagine trying to convince a cat? It would be like, look.
It would be like Cat Lassie. Do you remember the Saturday Night Live bit with Cat Lassie and
no.
Kimmy fell in the well and Cat Lassie, go get help. And you know, he's over there breeding
with himself.
Yeah, he's taking the long way and using her box. And
so funny.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
Yeah, that's good. Because there's no such thing as a seeing eye cat. And there never will be. They're just like, you know what? You want to step into the street. It's your choice.
I saw a skit about that the other day. I can't remember if it was Monty Python or what. It might have been. But yeah, so they had seen eye cats and, you know, all these guys were hitting low bridges and falling off the sidewalk into the water. Just hilarious. I think I'd rather trust the rat.
Well, yes, me too. Even just the amount of sleep that a cat likes to have, you know, 18 to 20 hours a day. If you really had a seeing eye cat, would you need like five of them and pull shifts? There's just no way, right? There's just no way this is going to work.
And the problem with that is, you know, okay, so you have five of them, but they all want to sleep at the same time. So you're
together.
Still not having any help.
Okay, that's something I did want to ask you about because I had an email question about that. And it's from a person who owns dogs and cats. And she's noticed that when it's a very long email and it has pictures, so cute. But anyway, she's noticed that when some of her dogs are just fine with cats, except when they're with a dog, like a neighbor or friend's dog, or she was pet sitting, who isn't good with cats, then all of a sudden her dogs become cat chasers too. And so she's asking, is the same thing true with cats? Is there a cat like that will behave itself, but then it sees when another cat is around, is there peer pressure?
I don't know that it's peer pressure in the cat's situation. You know, cats they're social, but they're also territorial.
Social, but territorial. Okay, so like with dogs, it is a bit of peer pressure, but it's also copying. And I have noticed with cats, like when I'm trying to show a cat, look, I'm okay. Trust me, you're new here. I'll go pet some other cat, you know, in front of it. So it sees, oh, that's a nice lady. Look at how that cat's purring. She didn't shoot it. She didn't kick it. She's not mean like the last person I met. Look, she's nice. So they do learn by watching, right?
They absolutely learn by watching, which is a real problem.
Yes.
But I do think that also because they have evolved to be solitary hunters, that they do get a little overwhelmed by the presence of new cats they don't know, or even within a clowder that is acquainted with each other, they can rub each other the wrong way. A lot of it has to do with, I think, density of the population.
But do they influence each other's behavior? Like say, okay, let's use the example of, you know, the naughty thing, right? The dog knows not to chase cats. He's tempted to chase cats. When there's another dog chasing them, he's going to participate. Okay, so the cat knows to stay off the counter. Guest cat or new cat or bratty cat, whatever, jumps on the counter. Will the cat that knows not to stay off the counter now go up on the counter? Because it's like, well, if he can do it, I can do it too.
Ooh. You know, that again, that's hard to answer.
Because in dog world, they sure would. In dog world, they'd be like, woohoo, party on the counter, you know.
Yeah, but the cats aren't going to sit there and congregate on the counter like the dogs might. So they might look at each other and then later on go, oh, he did it, you know.
Let's say there's something on the counter, right?
Oh, well.
So naughty cat, new cat, naughty cat, whatever, kitten, untrained cat gets up to get the thing. Boss cat that owns the thing says, that's my, you know, if anybody's going to get that leftover chicken leg or whatever it is that he is coveting, it's me. Will he jump up there and take it, like in the dog world?
Sure.
Okay, in that case, he would. So it's all variable.
But that has nothing to do with learning from each other. It's just opportunistic.
No. But if the new cat never jumped up there, the old cat might say, hey, I'm not allowed on the counter. I'm not going for it. But I think seeing the young cat go take it, he'd be like, no, 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 no. If anybody's getting that, it's me.
Well, okay, and I have an opinion about maybe scratching the couch is a better thing because
okay.
I think most cats probably get on the counter just when we're not looking.
Oh, we should put some cameras out and see.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I know my cats do. If there's usually a dog down there. And even though he's old and a little bit blind and doesn't mind cats, it seems to deter them, you know. But if he's not there, like, and he goes out to pee or whatever, if the cats come in, they're all over the counter in seconds.
Of course
like,
they are.
Boom, like they come in, up the stool, up the counter. And I'm like, what?
But of course, the counter is the perfect place for a cat. I mean, you know, from a behavioral perspective, it's high. It's safe. They can see what's going on. It gets them away from the toddlers,
the dogs.
Yeah. You know.
Well, how long will it take my cats to figure out that this particular dog is no longer going to be the policeman? Like he used to keep them off the counter. He's a herding dog and he's kind of bossy. But now he can't see, can't hear. He doesn't move so good. He's not doing anything. So occasionally he mock chases them a few steps and then stops short and turns around like George Costanza, a little stop short action going on. Couple of boom, boom, and then he, I've had enough, and he sits down. So how long till they figure out he's not the guy he used to be and they can get on the counter? What's a cat's?
Well, I don't know. You know, they're conditioned to not do something. And I think after a while, they just stop. You know, we have a cat fence. And it's kind of funny because we'll go through these periods and, you know, new cat figures out they can finds a place. And then they all start trying to get out of the cat fence. Well, then we finally block all the places and they stay in for years and years and years. And eventually they just stop trying. It's like, okay, I'm conditioned to stay in. I don't look for it anymore. So, you know, it could be not that he's not a threat, but, you know, it's just they're conditioned. That's the way it's always been.
We don't go on the counter when dogs are around.
We don't go on the counter when the dog's around. Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, we're going to go to break and come back, and we're going to find out what Dusty's lies and truths are. See if I can figure it out. Stay tuned on Animal Party Pet Life Radio.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hello, we're back on Animal Party Pet Life Radio. I always like to just interject a few little trivial facts as we go. And one thing I know that I think is kind of interesting is Thailand used to be called Siam. And so that's where Siamese cats are from. And the Thai word for a Siamese cat, which I think is so beautiful, is moon diamond.
Mm. Oh,
so nice. Okay, so Dusty, my moon diamond guest. Dusty, are you going to lie to me?
Oh,
I lie to you.
I'm going to lie. Okay.
Would she lie to me, honey?
Mine has more to do with cats and the physical cat. So, okay here they are.
Mm-hmm.
Cats are obligate carnivores. Cats can't taste sweet foods.
Oh, that's
and
true.
Cats can drink seawater to stay hydrated.
That's true as well. The first one's wrong because they're omnivores, but they're mostly carnivores.
Okay.
No?
Cats are obligate carnivores. They must eat meat in order to survive.
Oh, that's what that means. I thought it meant only eating meat. Okay. They have to eat some meat. Yeah,
okay. Yeah. And they genetically lack the receptors, taste receptors, to be able to detect sweetness,
right,
which is a good thing. But I know it's on the internet everywhere that cats can drink seawater, and they can actually tolerate slightly higher levels of salt than humans.
It's like briny, but not true. Yeah.
And yeah. But, loose. Yeah. So if, I mean, maybe if they drink it once, it's not going to kill them, but just like us, they reach a point where it's going to kill them. It's going to damage their
kidney or something. Yeah, that would be a recommendation.
I read that and I thought, I just don't think that sounds right. And I looked up this study and it's like, nope.
Okay. Well, I wonder if people at home got it. I wonder. So we're going to have to wrap up the show.
Oh,
I know.
Having a good time.
One more thing I want to tell people, though, that was in the news. I was trying to find news about Finland and other countries in that area of the world. And one thing I found that I thought was just beautiful is there's this place called Nordog. And it's a Norwegian animal rescue group. And what they're doing is they're going into the worst of the war zones where the Russian-Ukrainian conflict is and taking the pets out of there and rescuing them and taking them to Norway. So I just wanted to salute Nordog. Sometimes you just come across these good people doing good things wherever. And animals shouldn't be involved in our conflicts. So that's a wonderful thing to do. Especially, and the people who own them must be so grateful that that's happening.
Absolutely.
So, Dusty, have you got one thing to leave people with before we end the show today?
Well, I think that one of the things that I always say is that just pay attention to your cat. Sneakle treats. And when I say that, I'm not talking about giving them a handful. I'm talking about a lick of baby food or a single treat. And if you pay attention and you talk to them and you make them a part of your life, you're going to be surprised that they're going to reciprocate.
Yeah. What about butter? Can you take a little bit of butter on your finger and do that as a treat?
Oh, you know?
Or coconut oil? This is what my cats want. This one, Zena, she will do anything to get into that butter dish. And if you open up coconut oil and you leave the jar off, she'll find it. She's terrible. So, and they kind of tell you what they want. Owning a cat reduces the risk of stroke and heart attack by a third for humans. So, you know, when you say, oh, my cat doesn't do anything except twirl around my feet and look for affection at its food dish. Okay, what have you taught it? Teach it its name. Teach it to sit. Teach it to shake paws, just like you would a dog, basically, except don't spend so much time on it because they're way quicker.
Okay, while you're saying that, let me just interject something that it was one of the options I had for the truth and the lie.
Okay.
Let's do this one real quick. So cats only purr when they're happy. True or false?
Are there three? Are you giving me three?
No, I'm just giving you one. True or false?
No, false. False. They purr when they're injured and they purr when they're giving birth and they purr when they catch something.
They purr when they're dying and they purr when they're happy. Yes, absolutely. But the amazing thing is that the purr is actually a survival mechanism. Studies have shown that the frequency of the purr, I believe, is between 50 and 125 megahertz. And that is the same frequency that they put tens units on you when you've broken a bone or you need to heal muscular tissue. And so it is actually a healing mechanism. And it does the same thing for people. So, you know, if you hurt yourself, take one cat and call me in the morning.
Perfect way to end the show. Okay, everybody. You've been listening to Animal Party on Pet Life Radio with me, Deb Wolf, and our guest, Dusty Rainbow. Ciao, meow, everybody. Be good to your animals.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.